life of the greatest of American statesmen, Benjamin Franklin, called the first civilized American. He began life at 11 selling ballads in the streets of his native city, Boston, and rose by unwearied industry, shrewdness, and capacity to be a leader among men and honored by two worlds and their rulers. Born in 1706, he became apprentice to his printer brother, John, against whose tyrannical disposition he rebelled and set forth into the world alone. So we find him at the age of 17, walking up Market Street from the wharfs in Philadelphia. The streets are as yet deserted. It is an early Sunday morning in October. Franklin is just entering a small bakery.
Well, my son, what is your pleasure?
I'm hungry. Do you have some biscuits?
Some what?
Biscuits.
Nine? What is biscuits?
Well, they are, well, bread.
Biscuits. Nine. No biscuits.
Well, have you a threepenny loaf?
Nine. I don't know what you mean. We have bread.
Well, give me threepennies worth of anything or I'll perish.
Here, for three pennies. Three great big rolls. Is that enough?
All three of those big things? Oh, thank you, sir. Huh. Now I don't know where to carry the other two. My pockets are full of stockings and clothes. I just have to carry them under my arms, I suppose.
Yeah. Where you come from?
Why, Boston. Where can I find modest lodging nearby?
Well, the third door down the street, Mrs. Reed's. Come, I show you. Yeah, see that girl standing there on the doorway? That's Mrs. Reed's daughter, Deborah. Good people and reasonable.
Isn't she pretty?
Yeah. You like them.
Thank you, sir. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I...
You seem to be a bit hungry.
Yes, I... Is your mother in?
What do you want with my mother?
Well, I suppose I do look comical and filthy dirty, but I just arrived from Boston. I seek lodging.
Lodging? Good heavens. You'll have to see my mother, and I'll advise you to make yourself more presentable. She'll never consider you as you are.
She won't.
No, sir.
Very well. Perhaps I wouldn't consider your mother either. Good day.
Little did Benjamin know that he was again to meet this haughty young lady and fall in love with her. A short time later, he did take lodgings with the Reeds. He and Deborah wanted to marry, but Mrs. Reed felt they were too young and should wait until Ben returned from a business trip to London. However, he stayed in London 2 years, and Deborah foolishly married a no-good who soon deserted her. Benjamin has returned to Philadelphia, and Deborah.
I can't understand, Deborah, why you ever married this good-for-nothing fellow.
I can't understand why you didn't marry me when you were here. And then you left and I felt you'd forgotten. I was lonely. Oh, so lonely.
I know. Oh, Deborah, do you suppose this man you married will ever return?
Why do you ask?
It would make a difference. We wouldn't want to be bigamists.
Bigamists? You mean you want to marry me?
I do.
Benjamin. Oh, are you proposing this out of pity?
Pity? Deborah, that's unkind. I love you.
Then you wouldn't care what had become of this man.
I don't. We'll consider him non-existent. You can get a divorce, and we'll be married.
Oh, Benjamin, I'm so happy. And I haven't been happy since you left.
I know. I've been mean, Deborah. Mean. I love you.
Benjamin, we can be married tomorrow.
Tomorrow? What do you mean?
My husband died last year in the West Indies.
And so they were married September 1st, 1730, and remained so until her death 40 years later. Franklin gave many useful inventions to the world. He founded the first public library, the postal system, the public school, and in 1749, when war was raging and business was bad, he began experimenting with electricity. One day he invited the skeptic townspeople to a picnic on the banks of the Schuylkill River.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready for an electrical picnic. Alcoholic spirits are to be set fire by a spark sent from side to side of this river. The water will be the only conductor of the electricity.
I warn you all, this is folly.
A turkey is to be killed for our dinner by a shock and roasted by the electric jack before a fire kindled by the electrical bottle. Then, the health of all the scientists of Europe will be pledged from electrified mugs at the sound of a cannon fired by a spark from an electrical battery.
It's sacrilege. I warn you, evil shall come upon us.
Are you ready?
Yes, we're ready.
All right. The spark. Go! You see?
Can you imagine that?
Now watch the turkey. Go! Now, the fire. And now we drink to science at the sound of the spark-fired cannon. Nevermore need we fear the lightning and thunder. They have become the plaything of man, the workhorse of the future.
And so, in the face of great opposition, Franklin gave his first public demonstration of electrical wizardry. Now for Franklin the diplomat, the statesman. November 1782, Paris. The Americans and the British have signed a treaty of peace. Franklin is announcing the news to Count de Vergennes, French Minister of Foreign Affairs.
I have news, Monsieur Vergennes.
I have never seen you when you did not, Mr. Franklin. What is it?
I have here a preliminary pact of peace, signed and agreed upon by the delegates of both the United States and Great Britain.
What? Signed without the knowledge or consent of the French delegates? This is impossible.
But, Monsieur Vergennes, the treaty is signed. Both Americans and British have given their signatures to it. Shall I go dashing out between the armies now and begin shouting, "Soldiers, begin fighting again"? Monsieur Vergennes says the treaty of peace is worthless.
Very clownish, yet a very accurate way of putting the matter. I need not say that your action in signing the treaty without the consent of France is viewed with the greatest of disfavor by me.
Here are the provisions of our treaty with England. First, America has been granted her independence. Second, the boundaries of the United States have been extended west as far as the Mississippi.
A most remarkable concession, monsieur. You have done well for your country, perhaps.
The treaty gives both the United States and England the right to navigate the Mississippi. And this next provision gives America the right to use the fishing banks off Newfoundland.
And I see the next provision promises that American debts owing to British merchants shall be paid.
Yes, monsieur. America pays her debts.
And now that America has won its independence, what do you intend doing with it? How shall you profit from it?
How? Through freedom of spirit, peace of soul. Financially, we shall have a struggle before we take our rightful place in the world of commerce. And it is in this matter that France can again assist us.
Indeed. And how, may I ask?
France has aided us in gaining independence. We trust she will now aid us in making independence profitable.
Again, I ask how?
By a loan.
Impossible.
A loan of 20 million francs.
Preposterous. Ridiculous. Only an imbecile would think of it.
You do not credit me with much intelligence, monsieur. Yet you admitted our treaty with England is...
A stroke of genius, yes. But a loan of 20 million francs is impossible. You shall not have it.
Then I must apply elsewhere. And what, monsieur, will the world think of France when the world learns that France assisted America to win her war, then had a falling out with her over a little loan of 20 million francs?
I see no need for such a loan. I am not adverse to negotiating a smaller loan, but 20 million francs.
Beggars cannot be choosers. How large could this smaller loan be?
Well, under the circumstances, not a cent more than 6 million francs.
I must be content. You will arrange this loan?
Yes. France will lend America 6 million francs.
Regarding my diplomatic ability, May I at this point remark that I was commissioned to ask for only 5 million francs?
What? What? You wanted 5 million and you asked for 20?
I needed 5, asked for 20, and got 6.
Monsieur Franklin, be gone, be gone. Before you ask for the king's crown and I give you his waistcoat.
Benjamin Franklin, America's greatest diplomat. And when we count up the roll of the world's illustrious men, whatever place may be assigned to others, the name of Benjamin Franklin will hold permanent rank among the lives of the great.